Good day. This is Maureen. I'll be reading the Iroquois Times Republic edition for the week of January 9th, 2025. The central highlighted article is related to Christmas Tree Lane. Christmas Tree Lane 2024 at the Old Courthouse Museum in Watsika featured more than 25 decorated trees. This year's theme was Christmas at the Movies, and judging took place throughout much of December. We'll highlight some of the winners. In the People's Choice category, the Bentz family of Watsika was first. Winners in the Best Decorated of All Entries category was Watsika Park District's After School Program. And in the most original category of judging, first went to Jenny Lee's Giving Tree. Best use of theme, Midwest Dental of Watsika tied with the Bentz family for first place. And in the final category of judging, best handcrafted ornaments, first went to Watsika Community High School art students of Robin Butler. Christmas Tree Lane is sponsored by Iroquois County Historical Society, a nonprofit group which oversees the museum. The next article is about the Emergency Management Agency. With the upcoming bitter cold predicted to settle into our area, the Iroquois County Emergency Management Agency announces warming centers will be available for residents in Iroquois County, ensuring the most vulnerable of our residents are safe during the upcoming extremely cold winter days. The centers offer a warm location during periods of dangerous cold, according to EMA Coordinator Scott Anderson in a news release. In addition, residents are encouraged to ensure their senior relatives, friends, and neighbors, and others whose health may be affected by extreme cold are safe during extreme low-temperature days. Churches and other organized groups are also encouraged to check in on the well-being of their members. The following locations have been contacted this winter season and will be available during their standard business hours beginning Monday of next week. These locations will remain available throughout the winter season. Most government buildings will close for any upcoming legal holidays, as will some of the other published locations. Before heading to a warming center, it's recommended that a phone call be made to confirm availability. Ashcombe Coliseum Shabance, Shabance Community Center, City Hall and Iroquois West School District Office, Martinton for Gilman, Martinton Church of Christ in Milford, the Christian Church of Watsika, Watsika Public Library, Walmart, and Iroquois County Administrative Center, along with Trinity Church, are locations that can be available. There is an article about the Milford Area Public Schools Superintendent John Claybore looking back at 2024 and ahead in 2025. The interviewer asked, what would you say is the greatest accomplishment of 2024 for Milford Area Public Schools and why? The most significant accomplishment of 2024 has been successfully welcoming an all-new administrative team at both our buildings, while also as a district navigating decreased CPPRT funding. Despite financial challenges, we bring in new grant opportunities to offset funding losses and provide more opportunities for our students and staff. Additionally, we implemented new curriculum materials at the grade school as we worked to enhance the educational foundation for our youngest learners. This achievement reflects our commitment to adaptability, innovation, and ensuring that Milford Area Public Schools continue to build the extraordinary. Interviewer's next question, what is the biggest challenge facing the Milford District in 2025? That will be continuing to navigate financial stability while meeting the growing needs of our students and staff, balancing the implementation of strategic initiatives with the rising costs of education will require thoughtful planning and support from all stakeholders. Interview question number 3, what was another highlight for the district in 24? This was being awarded the Gear Up Grant, a transformative 7-year initiative aimed at promoting post-secondary success for our students in grades 6 through 12. This grant provides $40,000 annually in sub-grant funding, supports the hiring of a district Gear Up Grant Coordinator, who will work closely with students and staff to promote graduation and post-secondary opportunities, and offer scholarship incentives for all graduating students pursuing college. This program will have a lasting impact by opening doors for our students to achieve their dreams and follow the career path of their choice. The fourth question is, what do you see as some of the major projects for the district in 25? We will focus on evaluating our current facilities to identify improvements that can enhance learning environments and better serve our students. We will also work to continue to improve curriculum offerings and work to ensure students are well prepared for increased growth and performance on state testing. Additionally, we continue to aim to grow CTE, which is career and technical education opportunities, and partnerships at the high school, equipping students with skills for future careers. Continuing to seek additional grant opportunities will also remain a priority to support these initiatives and create new pathways for success. The fifth question is, what would you most like the public to know about Milford Area Public Schools? It is more than a district. It's a community, united in its commitment to building the extraordinary. Our students, staff, and families share a vision for excellence that drives everything we do. We are proud to provide innovative programs, inclusive environments, and opportunities for every learner to succeed. And the sixth question is, what can residents, local leaders, business leaders, and others do to help the school district? Support from the community is vital. Residents can advocate for our schools, attend events, and share their talents with our students. Local and business leaders can form partnerships that provide resources, mentorships, or internships, enriching our students' educational experiences. These leaders can also join our Business Owners Community Roundtable, where we collaborate on ways to strengthen both our district and our community. Together, we can ensure Milford Area Public Schools continue to thrive. The 68th Miss Illinois County Fair Queen Pageant will be January 18th at the Crown Plaza Convention Center in Springfield. 73 county fair queens from various counties across the state will compete for cash prizes in the honor of hosting the Illinois State Fair and DuQuoin State Fair, according to the information provided. Preliminary competition begins on January 18th. 16 finalists will be selected to compete for the title of Miss Illinois County Fair 2025 at a banquet on Sunday evening. The title of Miss Illinois County Fair is currently held by Natalie Evans of Morgan County. Contestants are judged on personal interviews, stage presence, beauty of face, and physical condition, and speech and communication skills. Representing Iroquois County is Jani, J-A-H-N-I, Lavica, L-A-V-I-C-K-A, of Milford. She is the daughter of Justin and Jan Lavica of Milford. She is a 2023 graduate of Milford High School and is currently attending Olivet Nazarene University, majoring in education. She will compete in the afternoon preliminary segment, which begins 1 p.m. January 18th. Miss Lavica was crowned Miss Iroquois County Fair Queen in July 24 at the County 4-H and Agricultural Fair. Sad news to report: with IDOT, an Illinois Department of Transportation snowplow driver was killed in an accident involving a truck and train. According to Illinois State Police reports, the accident happened at 8:24 a.m. on January 6th at 2300 North, west of U.S. Route 45 in Danforth. According to police reports, ISP Troop 5 responded to that location for an accident involving a Canadian National train and an IDOT snowplow. The driver of the snowplow was transported to an area hospital where he was pronounced deceased. A Beaverville man was found deceased behind the McDonald's restaurant in Gilman January 7th, according to Iroquois County Sheriff's Police reports. Sheriff's Police and personnel from the coroner's office were notified of a deceased individual in the parking lot that day. The area was subsequently secured by responding officers, and the Illinois State Police Crime Scene Unit was requested to process the scene. The deceased was determined to have been staying at a nearby motel. All indications are that this is an isolated incident and no foul play is suspected. Coroner Bill Cheatham said the afternoon of January 8th that the deceased was identified as Bruce Martell, 62 years of age. He said Martell's house in Beaverville had burned earlier in December and that local aid organizations were offering him a motel room in Gilman. Cheatham said there is surveillance footage from the motel showing that Martell left the building and was not dressed for the extreme cold weather. Cheatham said that the autopsy report in Bloomington the morning of January 8th showed that Martell died from cold exposure and hypothermia. Toxicology results are pending. Another list of winners related to Christmas events. The Christmas House Gallery winners were announced. 28 houses were entered in this year's Christmas House Gallery at the Old Courthouse Museum in Watsika. Of the 28, only two were made of gingerbread. The others were created by Robin Butler's art students at Watsika Community High School using a variety of materials. People's Choice overall winners were Becca Woods and Candace Schroeder of Watsika High School. That is first place. In the most original category for gingerbread, Jenny Lee of Milford placed first. And in the most original category, non-gingerbread, first place was a tie between a house created by Olivia Drake and Addison Ulich and one created by Rebecca Woods and Cadence Schroeder. In the best decorated category, there was a tie for first place with three houses coming in first. They were by Hallie Cahoe and Danica Lemonager, Ella Burton and Kinsey Smith, and Olivia Drake and Addison Ulich. Christmas House Gallery is an annual event which coincides with Christmas Tree Lane at the Old Courthouse Museum. They are sponsored by Iroquois County Historical Society, a nonprofit organization which oversees the museum. The Iroquois Federal Foundation was established in July 2011, and since that time, the foundation has awarded over $3 million to the 501c3 organizations in the Illinois counties of Champaign, Iroquois, Kankakee, and Vermilion, and in the Osage Beach, Missouri area. According to information from the foundation, it has identified five areas that it emphasizes in support: affordable housing, education, health and human services, youth programs, and general community improvement. Grant applicants must demonstrate Section 501c3 status and relevance to the foundation's areas of giving. Questions about the grant application or other information can be directed to Ashton Barrett. The grant applications are also available on the website www.iroquoisfed.com. Senator Chris Balkema, B-A-L-K-E-M-A, Republican of Chanahan, the newly elected senator for Illinois' 53rd District, was sworn in as part of the 104th General Assembly today. Balkema expressed his excitement for the opportunity to serve and extended congratulations to outgoing Senator Bennett for his decade of service. I am honored to represent the 53rd District in the Illinois Senate and humbled by the trust placed in me to serve our communities, Mr. Balkema said. As I step into this role, I want to congratulate Senator Bennett on his remarkable 10 years of service. His dedication to our district and to the people of Illinois has left a lasting legacy, and I wish him the best in this next chapter of his life. Balkema, who won the Republican nomination for the 53rd District Senate seat in March, ran unopposed in the fall general election. Since his election, he has focused on meeting the 108 mayors in the district, which spans 13 counties, to better understand local needs and priorities. Balkema brings a wealth of leadership experience to the role. First elected to the Grundy County Board in 2010, he has served as chairman since 2016. In addition to his public service, Balkema has a 31-year career with Caterpillar, holding leadership roles in human resources, operations, logistics, and purchasing. He is active in his church and previously served on the Grundy County Economic Development Council and held an advisory role on the Taylor University Business Advisory Council. Balcoma holds a Bachelor of Science in Business Systems from Taylor University and an MBA from Bradley University. He and his wife of 26 years reside in Chanahan and are proud parents of two sons in college. I'm eager to begin this important work for the people of the 53rd District, he said. I'm excited to represent our communities, understand their needs, work together with leaders across the state. Chris Balcoma now begins his first term as senator, representing the diverse communities of the 53rd District in the Illinois Senate. A benefit will be conducted in Lake Village to support the family of Corporal Brandon Schreiber. The Schreiber Strong benefit will be from 4 p.m. to midnight January 25th at the Lake Township Community Center in Lake Village. Corporal Schreiber was killed in the line of duty September 11th. The timeline of events includes a donation barbecue dinner starting at 4 p.m. Silent auctions will also begin at that time, as will ticket sales for a gun raffle and 50-50. The cash bar with beer and wine only will begin at 4. Music will be provided throughout the night by Soundcheck Mobile Entertainment. Ryan Holloway, one of several organizers for the event, said there is still time for a business or individual to make a donation toward the event, either as a raffle item or a monetary donation. He said they are a group of close family friends who are wanting to help the Schreiber family. He is quoted as saying, "We lost a brother, husband, father, son, somebody that meant a lot to us. We're all just trying to rally together to help Katie and the two children that lost their father, their husband, their best friend. Nothing is going to bring him back, but we can try to do everything we can to alleviate any financial burden they may come into. That is the biggest thing. Anything and everything we can bring to the table, whether that is a gift basket or any type of thing we can auction off or raffle off to gain funds for the family." There is a Facebook page called Schreiber Strong, that's spelled S-C-H-R-E-I-B-E-R, and it is there that people can message the organizers if they want to donate items. Route 66 Scenic Byway announces statewide conference and epic Route 66 Centennial Celebration on November 11th, 2026. It's thrilled to announce this statewide conference and centennial celebration at Motorheads in Springfield. The momentous event marks the 100th anniversary of the iconic Route 66 and invites enthusiasts, roadies, byway members, and non-members to join in a full day of education, recognition, and celebration. The schedule of events include a statewide conference to engage with industry leaders, Route 66 advocates, and community members to explore the rich history and promising future of Illinois Route 66. Sessions will feature updates, resources, and insights to celebrate and preserve the Mother Road. Conference sessions will focus on preservation, economic development, and the future of Route 66. A celebratory keynote speaker will kick off the conference. The executive director, Casey Claypool, states this is a once-in-a-lifetime milestone, and we're excited to bring together the Route 66 community to celebrate the history of the Mother Road, recognize its champions, and share its enduring legacy with the world. High school seniors from Illinois, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wisconsin have a chance to receive one of six college scholarships worth $1,500. Registration is open now through April 30th. Parents are able to register their student according to information from the scholarship. High school seniors or their parents may register for the ISL Midwest Senior Scholarship at that website. The ISL Education Lending will award $1,500 scholarships to six students whose names are randomly drawn after the registration period. No financial need is necessary, no grade point average, no class rank requirements. This is open to all legal U.S. citizens who are seniors at a high school in one of the qualifying states during the 25-26 school year and who intend to attend college, either virtually or physically, in the fall of 25. It is a no-purchase required program, and full rules and details are available at www.iowastudentloan.org/Midwest. A brief announcement that there is a caregiver support group planning three meetings at the Watseka Library. Those meetings will be January 19th, February 13th and March 13th at 1:30 p.m. The meetings are sponsored by East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging, Caregiver Advisory Services of Ford and Iroquois County. Another brief announcement, St. John Lutheran Congregation of Schwer celebrates 150 years of God's faithfulness in 2025. According to information from the church, the first celebratory service is scheduled for 10 a.m. January 12th with guest speaker Pastor James Lehman and the Behold Singers. Prior to the service will be a donut fellowship time from 8:30 to 9:45 in the parish hall. The public is invited to attend. In local banking news, the Longview Capital Corporation announced that it has entered into an agreement whereby it will acquire the stock of Federated Bank from Admiral Family Banks in an all-cash transaction. According to a news release from the corporation, the proposed transaction will expand Longview Capital Corporation's branch footprint into Iroquois, Kankakee, and Will counties and result in an increase in Longview Capital Corporation's asset base to approximately $1 billion based on financial data as of September 30, 2024. David Albin, chairman of the board and president of Longview Capital Corporation, said, "We are proud to add Federated Bank to the Longview Capital Corporation family, and it is our intention for Federated Bank to continue to operate as an independent bank charter for the foreseeable future. LCC is committed to continuing the tradition of excellent service, customer satisfaction we are renowned for in our community. We look forward to working together to navigate this expansion and collaboration." Matt Clark, president and CEO of Federated Bank, commented that "We are excited to join forces with a banking group that shares our values, commitment to community, and dedication to serving local customers. Together, we will build on our shared mission of providing trusted financial services to the communities we serve." The proposed transaction, which has been unanimously approved by the board of directors of both companies, but remains subject to customary closing conditions, including approval by applicable bank regulatory authorities, is expected to be completed in the first quarter of 2025. Longview Capital Corporation is a bank holding company based in Newman with three banking subsidiaries, Bank of Gibson City, Longview Bank, and Longview Community Bank. Between the three subsidiaries, there are 17 branches located in Mount Pulaski, Chestnut, Clinton, Gibson City, Tilton, Georgetown, Chrisman, Marshall, Paris, Danville, Royal, Ogden, St. Joe, Newman, Sydney, Villagrove, and Tuscola. The Illinois Department of Public Health announced that, in line with the national trend, the state's overall respiratory illness level has ticked up from moderate to high, driven by an expected early winter jump in hospital admissions. According to information from the department, IDPH's seasonal respiratory illness dashboard indicates that emergency department visits for acute respiratory illness topped 21% in the week ending December 28th. Up from 17% the previous week. During the same period, the number of ED visits for flu more than doubled to 6.2%, while those for COVID were at 2%. Respiratory illnesses on the upswing last month, IDPH issued a health alert to hospitals and healthcare facilities recommending that they take note of local conditions and consider targeted steps to mitigate the circulation of seasonal illnesses. These could include visitor restrictions and source control through measures like masking. IDPH Director Dr. Samira Vora stated, "The new year has arrived and Illinois is experiencing the expected winter surge in seasonal respiratory illnesses. It is now more important than ever to use the many tools at our disposal to keep ourselves and our loved ones safe. The most effective tool remains vaccinations for flu, COVID-19, and RSV. It is not too late to get your vaccines as the seasonal respiratory season can extend late into the spring. Other effective tools to prevent exposure to respiratory illnesses include enhanced ventilation, good hand hygiene, and a well-fitting mask. These tools may be valuable to all our Illinois residents, but are especially important for those most at risk, including individuals over 65, individuals with chronic medical conditions, and individuals who are immune compromised." Director Vora recommended that anyone who is feeling symptoms of respiratory illness, such as a fever, runny nose, sore throat, or cough, consider getting tested and treated early in the course of their illness, especially if they are at risk for serious illness or spreading it to someone who is at risk of serious illness. Treatments for flu and COVID-19 are most effective when they are given early in the course of the illness. Those who are ill should avoid spreading germs to others by self-isolating or wearing a mask if unable to isolate. Sadly, the IDPH Respiratory Illness Dashboard has recorded 4 pediatric deaths this season from flu, COVID-19, and RSV, providing a stark reminder about the importance of vaccinations for children and the risk of serious illness from these largely preventable seasonal illnesses. The new COVID-19 vaccines and the new flu shots are recommended for everyone over the age of 6 months. The RSV vaccine is recommended for everyone 75 years and older, and those between 60 to 74 who are at risk for serious illness. The new vaccines are widely available at pharmacies and through hospitals and community health clinics. The major pharmacy chains allow you to make an appointment online to get that injection. Adults without insurance can also check with their local health department for options or contact a free and charitable clinic or a community health center. There's an article titled Owl Prowling at Kankakee Sands. The dark winter months can be a great time for owl prowling. Owls are nocturnal, which means that they are the most active feeding, vocalizing, and moving about in the dark hours. With winter's long nights and short days, it's an ideal time to brush up your owl abilities with a walk at dusk to look for and learn about owls. In Indiana, we have 8 species of owls that spend some part of their lives in Indiana, whether they are year-long residents or winter visitors. At Kankakee Sands, we are thrilled to have the short-eared owls spend the winter with us after having spent the spring, summer, and fall in their breeding grounds in the Canadian tundra. They are small owls, measuring approximately 15 inches in length, with the body covered in white, brown, and buff-colored feathers. Their wings are long, the tufts of feathers on their heads are short, especially when compared to the feather tufts on the head of long-haired owls. Rest assured that the short-eared owl, as with all owl species, have excellent hearing. Short-eared owls have quiet vocalizations and therefore are not as easy to identify by their hoots and woots like many of our other Indiana owls. Short-eared owls typically return to our Kankakee Sands area in late October or November and stay until about March. A LaSalle County farmer and landowner, Alan Delphi, felt the heat of the sun shining on him when making decisions that would affect him, his children, grandchildren, and possibly others who work his land in the future. He said, "I have had 5 solar companies approach me. Each one told me what they would do for me. I even had one more today." At an event of recent farmland owners sponsored by U of I at Illinois Valley Community College, he gathered more information. He said he's thankful that the responsibility of making the decision is not his alone. He has involved family members, a lawyer, and his support team. The company that they have chosen practices agrivoltaics, the dual use of land for solar energy production and agriculture. They will likely graze sheep initially, but more research is done on short corn varieties and other crops that might be compatible with the solar system. It's important to discuss a solar contract with your insurance company and attorney to see what is covered by the energy company and what changes might need to be made to the farmer's or landowner's policy. Elizabeth Strom, an accredited farm manager and vice president of Murray Wise Associates in Champaign, said, "Before you sign, make sure you fully understand the contract." This completes reading this week's edition of the Iroquois County Times-Republic. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the rest of your week.